accepted in the Beloved. In Romans 5 verse 8, we read that God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While Ephesians 1, 5 and 6 tells us that having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the Beloved. And Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does he really accept me? Does he truly love me? Does he fully trust me? Despite my foibles, my weaknesses, my lack, my silly traits, my eccentricities, in spite of my outbursts, my failing beauty, my advancing years, am I still accepted to the one I love? Does he still love me? These are the assurances that every wife and lover yearns to have from her beloved. These are the eternal questions buried deep in the heart of every woman and man. But how often does the believer desire such reassurances of God's acceptance? How often does a Christian crave to be thus comforted by his own Lord? How often does he ask, does God fully accept me? Does he still love me and trust me with all my faults? Despite my foibles and my weaknesses, my lack, my silly traits, my eccentricities, am I still accepted by God? Does God still love me? But God preordained that all who believe in Jesus are fully accepted in his beloved Son. The peace and love and acceptance of God is only through his beloved Son. Without assurance of this precious fact, many live a life of daily dissatisfaction. Without confidence in his word, many spend their years in constant mistrust. If the failing beauty of a wife doesn't influence the ardour of a devoted husband, how much more God's never-failing acceptance is of the believer in Christ? God's acceptance of you and his acceptance of me is based on one thing: the finished work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3 verse 24. God's love never changes. His truth never alters. His acceptance never ceases. His love for you does not depend on your attributes or your achievements. His acceptance of me is not influenced by my foibles and lack, my silly traits. His truth is the same forever. His truth is the same for everyone of his own. He is not influenced by our efforts or our qualities. He doesn't change towards us due to our inadequacies or our outbursts. Many presume that their lack, inadequacies, and the remembrance of their old sins requires repeated renewal of acceptance with God, lest he withdraws his acceptance of them and withholds his love from them. Oh, but God never alters. He is unchanged, and the unchangeable God for ever. His acceptance of you and of me rests on the finished work accomplished by Christ. But, oh dear, you cry, today I have walked in the flesh. God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of evil people. God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, pity me, I've failed. I haven't loved, and I haven't trusted as I should. I have allowed sin to influence me, and the flesh to rule my thoughts today. God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. Oh, help me! I have allowed pride to seep in, and conceit is lurking deep within my heart. God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. Sin may certainly affect close fellowship with the Lord. Evil doings and ungodly attitudes may stem your intimate communion with Him. But God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. If we live in the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, He will certainly judge us according to our works, which will burn as wood, hay, and stubble. But God never changes. You are forever accepted in the Beloved. If we fail to keep His command and seek to live by self instead of Christ, God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. There is no other basis for our acceptance except as we are accepted in Him. J.N. Darby puts it this way: when the Holy Spirit reasons with man, He does not reason from what man is for God, but from what God is to man. Souls reason from what they are in themselves as to whether God can accept them. Oh, He cannot accept you thus. You are looking for righteousness in yourself as a ground of acceptance with Him. You cannot get peace while reasoning in this way. The Holy Spirit always reasons down from what God is, and this produces a total change in my soul. It is not that I abhor my sins. Indeed, I may have been walking very well. But it is I abhor myself. Until the soul comes to that point, He does not give peace. He cannot. It would be healing the wound only slightly. The soul has to go on until it finds that there is nothing to rest upon but the abstract goodness of God. And then, if God be for us, who can be against us? William R. Newell puts it this way: there being no cause in the creature why grace should be shown, the creature must be brought off from trying to give cause to God for His care. He has been accepted in Christ, who is His standing. He is not on probation. As to His life past, it doesn't exist before God. He died at the cross, and Christ is His life. Grace once bestowed is never withdrawn, for God knew all the human exigencies beforehand. God's action was independent of them and not dependent upon them. Newell continues, by pointing out how to live. To believe and to consent to be loved while unworthy, this is the great secret. to refuse to make resolutions and vows. For that is to trust in the flesh. To expect to be blessed, though realizing more and more one's lack of worth. To rely on God's chastening, his child-training hand, as a mark of his kindness. To hope to be better or acceptable is to fail to see yourself in Christ alone. To be disappointed with yourself is to have believed in yourself. To be discouraged is unbelief. Unbelief as to God's purpose and plan of blessing for you. To be proud is to be blind. For we have no standing before God in ourselves. The lack of divine blessing, therefore, comes from unbelief, not from failure of devotion. To preach devotion first and blessing second is to reverse God's order. That's to preach law and not grace. The law made man's blessings dependent on devotion. Grace confers undeserved, unconditional blessing. Our devotion may follow, but doesn't always do so in proper measure. Just as the wife must rest in the assurance of her man's deep devotion to her, despite her foibles and weaknesses, failing beauty, silly traits, eccentricities and outbursts, so must the believer rest in the arms of God's total, full, reassuring acceptance. God never changes. You are accepted in the Beloved. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. For you are accepted in the Beloved.